Hello.
Hi, Marshall. It's Samantha Hayes calling you from Penguin Book Writers. How are you doing today?
Good, good. So what is your name?
Samantha. We spoke before.
Samantha,
From
right.
Yes, writing.
Yes. I remember. Yes.
Okay, so, Marshall, I have a lot of questions, if you allow
yes.
me to initiate, because I'm a little confused with a lot of documentation that you sent in. So I wanted to have a word with you over the phone so you can explain what each document refers to and where should we begin from. That's where I'm facing
right.
a little bit of difficulty.
Well,
so
let me
pull up the documents. Yes. Introduction.
Yeah, go ahead. Pull up introduction.
Okay. Let me pull that up. All right.
Because that explains it all.
Okay. All right. It's opening. Let's look into that. Okay. Go ahead.
So if we read this together in outline form, the title of the book is Wordle Limerick.
Mm-hmm.
And you understand that I've written limericks based upon the word of the day in Wordle game, which is an internet game. Are you familiar
mm-hmm.
with it?
Yes.
Okay. So my first chapter, just some personal background, the fact that I've been doing limericks in one form or another ever since my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And that first paragraph states that. And then the second paragraph quotes a book which published 1,700 examples of limericks, and I gave the reference at the bottom, making the point that until this point in time, limericks are very filthy. And I use the fact that I was able to enjoy in this book more vulgar, bawdry, obscene, lewd, filthy, and profane five-line wonders that I ever considered possible. So that makes the point that limericks generally are filthy. And then the third paragraph details the fact that in the introduction to this book, someone said that a non-profane limerick is really not of any interest to anybody. And I say in this paragraph, I would have agreed with them until Wordle came along, and I could link the title of a limerick to a specific word, using that word in every limerick. Okay, then I give, in paragraph 4, is this background of the history of limericks. Paragraph 4, 5, our background history of limericks and so forth, including the fact that somebody named Edward Lear published 212 of them in the 1800s. Then I get into the form of the limerick in paragraph 6. Are you with me?
Yes, I am. Go
Hello?
Ahead. I'm taking
right,
down notes as we speak.
Okay. But if you try to follow along the paragraphs, it'll be helpful when you read
sure.
this back.
Sure.
And then I go into the general form of the limerick in paragraph 6. In paragraph 7, I state that every now and then I added a sixth line, which is not typical, in parentheses. And in the next paragraph, I just talk about the organization. Sometimes I write more than one limerick per word, and they're totally disconnected. And to separate them, I use WL, Wordle Limerick, but you can use something else. I was hoping there'd be a better designation that I couldn't type, some sort of separator between them,
mm-hmm.
Like some sort of sign. I don't know. You might want to come up with something on that.
Okay.
Then the next one, I start talking more about Wordle and its history.
Mm-hmm.
The next paragraph, the same. And I talk about how many five-letter words there are in the English language and how long the words will be coming to write limericks about.
I see
and that's
that.
October 20th, 2027.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then I talk about my own creation of these limericks and how it happened. And then next paragraph, the same little more summary of average number of limericks. There's actually an error here, but I'll have time to make corrections, won't I?
Yes. Once we start working in sections in terms of developing the content, then you will have time to provide your feedback or if there are any additions to it. Okay, so Michael, question.
Okay. Yes. Well, then the last paragraph says, you know, I hope you'll enjoy these limericks. Suggest you read them out loud. I gave limited number, just two references. Mm-hmm. And so that explains everything there.
Yes. Yes. Now, I have a question for you. Do you need me to use this introduction as it is? Of course, make some changes, develop it, make it more professional. Apart from that, do you need us to use this as an introduction for the book as it is? Or can we expand on these paragraphs as you talk about them and, you know, go for further expansion, maybe? What is your suggestion?
Can. I suggest you do whatever you want. Let me look at it and go from there.
Okay.
I mean, if you can improve on it, you're welcome to do that.
Okay. Now I'm opening up the next document that you sent in. Let me see.
All right, let me close this. Hold on a second. Let me shrink that down. Now, let me get rid of that and open up. Let's see. Command F. Oh, no, that's not right. Command N. Hold on a second.
Sure.
That's fine. Command N gets me Ralph introduction. Okay. Now, do you have that?
Okay. I'm looking at the file which says Wordle, Limerick, Flemericks, Marshall.
No, go back. Go back to what's R. It says R on it.
Okay. Let me find that. Okay, I have footnotes and hand notes, second introduction, limericks about limericks, words, spreadsheet,
well, that's
alphabetical.
That's different. That's like you're doing fine. You've got a bunch of them, but the one you want now is the one that says R.
R, okay, let me find that.
Ralph introduction.
I do not see this. What's the complete title of that particular file?
Okay, when I open it, it simply says Ralph's introduction. See, my granddaughter wrote a different introduction.
Oh,
so
okay.
This could be used in, or not used. It could be a forward. It's just another viewpoint of it.
Okay. But I do not.
If you don't, have it, I could share it again.
Yes, please, if you may. Can you take down my email address?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, that's going to be Samantha, S as in Sierra, A as in Alpha, M as in Mary, A as in Alpha, N as in November, T as in Tango, H as in Harry, A as in Alpha, Samantha.Hayes, H as in Harry, A as in Alpha.
Yeah, H-A-Y-E-S, right?
Yes.
Hayes, yes.
At PenguinBookWriters with an S.com.
Yep. PenguinBookWriters.com. All right, let me try to send it to you now. Share, loading.
Yes.
Add people. So Samantha, S-A-M-A-N-T-H-A, dot, H-A-Y-E-S, at, P-E-N-G-U, P-E-N-G-U-I-N, B-O-O-K, W-R, ITERS.com.
That's correct.
All right, there you are. I'm just going to say second intro. Okay, and I'm going to send. It's not sending. Hold on a second. Restricted. Only people access can open with the link. So I think my granddaughter has to send this to you. Because only people with access can open the link.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'll have to get her to send it to this email.
Okay, have you sent it or?
No, I can't send it. The reason is it's on a Word document that only people with access can open with the link. And
oh,
I don't know how to get it to you. I can copy the link, but I'm going to have her send it to you.
Okay, all right.
How about this?
Try an alternative way. Why don't you copy the content of that file and try posting it on a new Word file? Then you might be able to share it with me.
Okay, so command copy.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you want me to do? Could I do that with the whole file? I'm not too good with this technical stuff.
That's okay.
So I'll tell you what, I'll get her to send it to you at another time.
Okay.
I don't think she's available now, but let me text her. Hold on. I'll just text her. Okay. Ralph. Okay, Ralph Black. Are you available to send your intro? All right. So let's move on. We'll get back to that. I'll get it to you.
Okay. And the next document that we'll be reviewing together is which one?
The Wordle document. That's the body of the report, the one that says
okay.
W. That's
Wordle,
the body.
Wordle, Limericks, Flemericks, that one?
Yep.
Okay.
So the numbers correspond to the Wordle number, and the data was released.
Okay.
So the first one was cigar. There it is, and the number, and the date, and then the limerick. In each limerick, the word of the day is italicized or bolded. Do you see it?
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I see
now
that.
You can,
yeah, go
there's
ahead.
A star there on the third line, right?
Mm-hmm.
So can you go ahead and open another document alongside? And that's the document that says F.
F
as in Frank.
F as in Frank. Is that footnotes and handnotes?
Yes. But, well, I don't know if handnotes. So that's my granddaughter's. That's not mine.
Okay.
That's not the one you want. The one I sent.
Okay. All right, let me see what I have here.
It says footnotes to selected word limericks when you open it up.
Okay, when I open this document, it says footnotes to selected word limericks. Is that the one
you're
looking at?
That's it. Yeah, if you have another document with F on it, footnotes and handnotes, get rid of it. It's going to confuse you later.
Okay.
We don't need it.
Okay. All right. So I'm looking at this document. But before I move on to that, the previous document, you know, with the number that says and the specific word and along with the date, what are we supposed to do with that? After the introduction, all of this is going to come after that, or how are we going to work on that?
Right. The introduction is going to be, like in any introduction, a separate chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to have the next chapter is going to be the biggest. It's going to have all the limericks in numerical order.
Mm-hmm. Which starts
corresponding
from zero,
to the word
cigar, and it ends with, let me see, what's the last line? Okay, the last one, it says XXX9. Is there something
No, you went too
missing?
Far. I'm sorry. Okay. No, go up a little bit. Ignore anything with the X in front of it.
Okay. All right. If I skip the X's, then I have WL.
What? No, WL is the separator
between
unrelated limericks.
Oh, gotcha. All right. So the one before that says 660 under April 10, 2023. Is that the last one?
That's the last one I sent.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the time, that's how many there were.
Mm-hmm.
660 words. Now there's 674 words. Tomorrow there'll be 675. The question that you've got to help me with, I mean, make a decision on with me, how big can this book be? How many limericks can we put in there? If you stop at 660, that will give you 1,129 limericks, which is what's stated in the introduction.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably too many. I don't know. So
I
don't know where the cutoff is going to be.
We'll need to work with the page count or page limit. I have a question for you at this point of time. What's the trim size of the book that you're anticipating?
I have no idea. I've never done this before, so
okay.
I'm going to need your input. But I'm thinking of a coffee table size book.
A coffee table size book would be something around 6x9, which is almost like a novel book. I don't think that the genre of the book supports to go with the standard trim size. What I would recommend is an A4 size book, which is an 8.5x11. It's a bigger page, and it's going to give us more room for
the maximum number
of limericks.
Right. Well, maybe we have a different concept of coffee table book, but in my mind, coffee table books are bigger than standard novel size.
Okay. Well, yes. Then maybe we have a different concept of that. In our industry, coffee table book is referred to as a standard novel size book. That's a 6x9. So I believe you are also wanting an A4 size. That's like the biggest trim size that we have available for books, which is 8.5 by 11.
What is the biggest? 8.5 by 11 is the biggest?
Yes. That's the biggest size
that
we have.
Now, just looking at that on my 11, that's pretty good.
That'll be like the standard A4 paper size.
Yeah, the 8.5 by 11 is the biggest. I think that's the right format.
Okay. All right, then we'll follow 8.5 by 11. Overall, in this file, which is titled as Wordle Limericks Flemericks, which is apparently the body of the entire book. This document has 268 pages so far, you know, if we look at all the limericks put together. And
how many is too many?
Yeah, that's the tricky part of it, Marshall. I think we should start to You can, you know, what you can do on your end is that you can continue to compile this document from 660 onwards. Okay.
Work
on a separate one.
Doing.
Yeah. Just continue to compile that. Let us, face up and complete this and put this into a book format. Once we are done with that, we will take the remaining limericks from your end and incorporate them in the copy. And we can include as many as, we need to set a publication date for this. Are you publishing this book?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so maybe we can set a deadline or a timeline for ourselves for, let's say, 4 days before the publication. That's when we'll stop.
So, all right, but you think, I'm doing three every day.
Okay.
And so it's not a problem. So the question is, how many can we get in one book?
I think
where do we...
Mm-hmm. Let me answer your question. We can go up to 400 pages for this book.
Okay, let's just say that 400 pages, that's a lot.
Yes.
It would be a big book. That's going to be expensive, though, huh?
Yeah, of course, for others. But it's covered under the cost that you've paid to us, so you got nothing to worry about.
All right. So we do 400 pages with limericks on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's go back. I want you to go back to the beginning on Zero Cigar.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Got
the footnote. Got them side by side?
Yes, just give me a minute. Let me open them side by side. Okay, I got it.
Now, go ahead and read in the footnotes that introductory two paragraph, a footnote on the footnotes, just so you get the idea.
Okay. A footnote on the footnotes. Okay, some limericks are traditionally in the off-colored clear nature and do not require explanation. Others are more complicated, but the limerick itself, despite the limitations of only five lines within which to elaborate, is in off itself sufficient to relate the intended information. Others still, such as the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, are so well known generally that, again, no further explanation is needed. That is true. There are, however, a substantial number of my word limericks that are more obscure or require further explanation. It is for this last group that footnotes are provided. Okay. Footnotes are intended to be...
Read next, one more paragraph.
Yes. Sufficient to make the meaning of the limerick clear by providing concise background information. Many of the footnotes entries are obtained from Wikipedia, but many other sources have been utilized as well, okay? Specific references are not provided as I did not feel that they would enhance the enjoyment of the limerick, but on the contrary, might make the reading of the limericks too academic and cumbersome rather than, yes, that makes sense to me.
Okay. Now let's look, you're now going to listen to a limerick as though you're reading it. I'm going to read it to you, and then we're going to look at the footnote, okay, just to give you the idea.
Okay.
So now this one, I have different classifications of limericks. This one is clearly funny, but it's political.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Clinton certainly got very far. Only few could achieve on his par. But the Lewinsky scandal, footnote, proved more than he could handle. He had no clue what to do with a cigar. Now, do you get that?
Yes, and I'm actually looking at the footnote as well. You have explained the Lewinsky scandal there.
Right, but you see, the point is that not everybody's going to get the joke of the cigar.
Mm-hmm.
If you're young, too young to remember that,
mm-hmm.
There's actually in the lay press items saying that the cigar was used for sexual purposes. So not everybody's going to get it.
Oh, okay.
But for those that know that, it's going to be very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And the brief footnote helps. Let me read number two.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, rebut is the word that day.
Mm-hmm.
Upon the discovery of the tomb of King Tut, there's a footnote,
mm-hmm.
his coffin remains tightly shut. But after letting in some air and yelling in his ear, poor Tut was unable to rebut. Now,
okay.
That a lot of people will find funny, because obviously
yes.
a mummy can't rebut. But
mm-hmm.
there's a little background on King Tut there.
Mm-hmm. There it is, yes. I see that.
All right.
With a pharaoh, yes.
All right, now the number two, sissy. That's just a silly one. My granddaughter actually wrote that.
Mm-hmm.
Read that one. That doesn't need any explanation.
Okay,
I don't think.
It doesn't take much to be a sissy. All you need is a fit that is hissy. A bit of pixie dust, a dash of ditzy fuss, okay? And someone to call you prissy. Oh, that's nice.
So, but no footnotes needed, right?
Exactly.
Okay, now let's go to number three. This
okay.
word, do you know what that word of the day, humph, means?
What does it mean?
It's a sound one makes when one is frustrated. Hmm.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
Kind
yeah.
of back.
Uh-huh.
All right, so then I chose a topic that's obscure.
Mm-hmm.
The golem, with a footnote, move with a golem. Threatening all with a big harumph. When his clay feet fell apart, it was with a gleeful heart that I muttered a bewildered
hmph. Okay.
Well, so not everybody's going to get that, but
yeah.
This is a Jewish legend.
Uh-huh.
And here's my read my footnote for number three.
Yes, I see that. The golem is an animated anthropomorphic. What's that?
That means like a living creature, but not.
Oh, okay. creature made of clay or dust. Okay, I got that. Brought to life through rites in Jewish folklore. Okay, the name comes from the Hebrew word golem, referring to something incomplete. Oh, okay, I got it. All right.
So people are
going to
learn.
Yes, it's actually making more sense now. So how do you suppose that we put the footnotes and hand notes? I think they go hand in hand.
Well, that's the question. I see it as a separate chapter, but I'd like the flow of the limericks to just flow through, and then people go to the next chapter on footnotes to look it up.
But see, the way I am seeing it, see, coming from an outside perspective, since I know nothing about this game, I would need the footnotes to be on the same page, just like how you're having me tally each limerick with the footnote. And it's actually making sense like this. If it's going to be in a separate chapter, a lot of people might have to, you know. Yeah, go ahead.
I think it should be in a separate chapter, but think about it and talk to your people you work with and see what they think.
Yes, I'm going to discuss
So notice here there's the C number 87, Gollum.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that means look at whatever, you know, you might put a page number there. I don't know. But if you go down to number 87, can you do that? Can you scroll down to 87?
Is this going to be in the word limericks? Or the footnotes?
Well, wait. It's a cross limerick because they discuss similar subjects.
Mm-hmm. And the number is 87?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me find
that. Just scroll down till you get to 87.
Okay. I'm on the 50s now, and here comes 60s, 70s, and... here we are, 82, 84, 86,
87, Gollum. All right. You see, the word of that day was actually Gollum.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice I cross-referenced
it. You cross-referenced it with
Yeah.
Number three.
And then let's read this one. Mm-hmm. Last year I raced in a slalom against the creature called the Gollum.
Mm-hmm.
He was too clumsy to zigzag or ski inside the flag. He could ski only in a straight column.
Nice. Okay.
And, you know, he's a big, giant creature. The whole image is funny. So that, and you notice if you go back to the footnote for number three, after the explanation of the Gollum,
you have cross-referenced it. Yes, you've cross-referenced 87 Gollum.
Right. All right. Let's go on. Let me show you a few more things.
Okay.
Look at the 88. Okay. 88.
Okay. 88 is Lusty.
Right. Now, there are two limericks for Lusty.
Yes.
Now, there is no WL between them.
Mm-hmm.
That means they are connected.
Yes.
They may be the same story, or they just may relate the same concept.
Mm-hmm.
So let's read. Go ahead and read the first one.
Okay, she was so strong and lusty, also impressively busty, but I became fearful, you see, when she asked to sleep with me, as I was too old and rusty. Okay, all right, the second one. She was so young and lusty, while I was old and crusty. Okay, yeah, definitely relatable. Certainly unable to please her, yet having no wish to tease her, I named her my world's trusty. Okay. That's a good one.
So you see, they're pretty funny now.
Yeah.
Now let's go to the next one. 89.
89 is Loopy.
Yeah. Now you see, between the two limericks for that word, I have a
WL. Yes, that means a separate.
They're unrelated.
Yes.
Yeah, you can come up with something better than WL if you think you need to, but okay, so read the first
one. One more thing. What does WL stand for, or is this just a random indication?
Wordle limerick.
Oh, okay.
Wordle limerick. I really wanted to put a triangle between them, but I don't, you know, but it's a symbol I can't type, so you just need some sort of symbol to separate the limericks that are unrelated.
Mm-hmm.
gotcha. Within the word category.
Okay, we'll figure
right,
something
out. All right, let's go to that. The next one. Mm-hmm. All right. Loopy.
Loopy.
You'll
the
see
Japanese
what I mean.
Man, Suzuki, desired to play Kabuki. Okay, Kabuki, I need to go back to footnotes for that.
Yeah, hey, 89. Sad, yeah.
But also a fact that he was unable to act as his behavior was completely loopy. Okay. And this will
and
be referenced at...
This one's Baudry. I'm going to warn you. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And where can I find the footnote for that? I'm trying to find that.
On the footnote, go down to number 89 on the footnote.
89. Kabuki. Okay, I got it. Kabuki is the traditional Japanese popular drama performed with highly stylized singing and dance. Oh, okay. Got it.
So,
this
you know, so it's
cool.
Very brief, but yeah. Okay, go to the second limerick.
Okay.
Under Loopy.
Yes. A gossipy woman was snoopy, her behavior absurdly loopy, okay, for she desired to sleep with three men and two sheep and to yell out loud and cheer whoopee, okay. All right. That's a funny
okay,
one.
Okay, now go to... yeah, you're liking them, I can tell.
Yeah, yes.
Then you're going to have a lot of fun with this.
Yes.
Okay, number 90. What's
number
the word?
Number 90 is round. And
all right,
you have cross-referenced it with pound as well. Let's see.
As pound and hound, number 668. Now, if we cut off at 650, we'll have to take that hound out.
Okay. All right, and
okay.
Let me see.
But I'm just saying, I'm just saying, wherever we cut off, I'll have to make adjustments.
Yes.
Okay, so go ahead and read round.
Okay. It was an awful, growling sound going round and round, producing haunting chills, the hound of the Baskervilles. Okay, that's a reference. I'm going to go back to that later. A dog hell-bent for the pound. Okay, and I need to see the reference for round. The Hound of the Baskerville is a third of four crimes novel by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle featuring Sherlock Holmes. Okay, I got it. And the other reference is 49. That's pound. Okay, I have to scroll up.
Yeah, you go over and... And 669.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Enable
so
our
cross
a small belly button.
Let's go to pound. Let's go to 49. See what that's all about.
Yes. A naval orange has a small belly button like appendage at
oh,
the
no, no.
Apex.
Don't go to the reference. Go to the limerick.
Okay, limerick. Let's go back, and that is 49.
Yeah, see, the intent is to send you back to another limerick on a related subject.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
that is 48.
Let me make a, when you get to that limerick, let me know.
Yes, I'm here.
Now, the footnote does not apply to the limerick you just read, because under pound there are two limericks.
Yes.
It applies, well, why did I cross-reference it? Give me a minute. I cross-reference round with pound. Oh, no. Well, it could be to either one of these.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out you're right. It was this reference. Okay, so go ahead and read the second limerick.
That's pound, number 49, right? Oh, the...
Yeah, because we talked about round before.
Okay, there are two... Yes, there are two limericks under pound, and both are unrelated.
Well, the second one is the one I'm referencing back, so maybe we have to put a subscript two on that. I don't know.
Yes. I think we'll have to somehow indicate this. Okay.
Yeah, and then I can do that for you when you tell me how you want me to do it. But go ahead and read the second one because it's a brilliant one.
All right. They are so gorgeously round, forming a perfect mound with a nipple of a navel. Your taste buds still enable. Oranges at $2 to the pound. Okay, that's a good one.
Well, the punchline is a surprise,
yes.
Right?
Yes,
everybody's
indeed.
Thinking breath.
Yes, exactly. Oranges at $2 to the pound. That's a good one.
Yeah, and then I put it the cross reference because the word round is in there too.
Yes, I see that.
So now the number one, read number one. That's not related. So maybe we want to sub reference that somehow. You'll tell me how, and I'll do it.
Okay,
so read the first one. Are you British or Indian British?
I am actually American Indian, you can say.
Well, you got the British accent, because when you learned English, it must have been the English.
Yes,
but,
probably, because I grew up in South Africa, so I have a funny accent.
Ah, okay. That's okay. Right, okay. So read the first one.
Britain traded the euro for the pound, a decision thought to be profound. When they left the EU, well, what does it mean? What's EU?
European Union.
Oh, European Union, my bad.
Do I need a footnote?
To go school. I could not come up with European Union at this point of time. I think we'll have to, somehow indicate that. That's fine.
Footnote. EU footnote.
Yes. They told Europe to go school. Not everyone thought Brexit sound. I didn't get that one. Can you explain
No,
that?
No, because you're not aware of the current events. 5 years ago, Britain withdrew from the European Union.
Oh, okay.
And it was a difficult transition, and they told Europe they didn't need them anymore. But the country was actually split. So it's a historical political limerick.
Oh, okay.
The bulk of people will know what this is about. But you're young. You're probably, mid-20s?
No, I'm in my early 30s.
Okay. So you missed that. But,
yeah, I did.
But it's fine if there's somebody to be foot reference, because I'm going to have a broad audience. They're between 2 and 3 million Wordle players. So.
Okay.
Anyway,
right.
So you see how the cross-referencing works.
Yes, I understand these two documents perfectly now. Let me look at the other documents as well, just so that I don't have any additional questions. Okay, so we went through the introduction. We went through the body, which is Wordle, limericks, flemericks. We went through the footnotes and handnotes that correspond with the Wordle limericks. Then there is a second introduction, Marshall Flam. Okay.
Well, let me see. Second introduction, maybe my granddaughter.
Yeah, probably. Let me look into that. And then there is another file, a document which says limericks about limericks. Let me download that one, too.
Yeah, that's just like where you're going to put that, the end or the beginning, I don't know. That's
okay, let me
file.
Look at that, and then we'll move forward from there. I just need to close these two and open up the new one. So we are looking at second introduction. And limericks about limericks. Let me open both of them.
Yeah. Tell me about that second in limericks about limericks. I got it here.
Yes. Okay, now I'm looking at the second introduction, and I see the file that you were referring to. It's from Ralph, right?
Right. That's her introduction. It's got a different slant. It's a different feeling to it. You tell me if you think we need it or not.
Okay, so this is like an optional document. Hey, how about if we merge the two introductions, maybe subsection them in the first chapter? Do you think that would work?
No, I'd like to keep them separate.
Okay.
Because they really are very different in feeling.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
Go ahead and you want to read it now or not?
Yeah, I'm just going to skim through it, and then I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. I'm pulling up the other document as well, which says limericks about limericks.
Right.
Okay, it starts off from 167.
Well, what I did was I pulled out seven limericks that talk about limericks.
Oh, okay.
So
let's look at
the second one, 227, those. It would be a redundant thing, but it would be nice to have a page to show just limericks on limericks.
And I see there is an acknowledgement at the bottom of this as well.
Look, that's something else. It just happens to be in this document.
Okay.
So let's read those. The plural of that is those. That's useful to know writing prose. But if you're writing a limerick,
that would never do the trick. But they are much more difficult to compose.
Nice.
So they're all about the limerick, and I got another one that I'll add that is not in the body of the book.
Okay.
But, so that's just a cute little page. Place it maybe at the beginning. I don't know, wherever you want.
Yeah.
If you go down there, you see the footnote notation.
What are these footnotes about? Yes.
Yeah, you see footnote notation. There are things I couldn't do. Like number 75, delta. I can't type a delta sign, the inverted triangle.
Okay.
So that's, I'm letting you know. And then number 151, I can't phonetically spell heron because I can't invert the E.
Oh, okay. Got it.
This is just, yeah. And now in the next one, rouge, I can't write a formula, a chemical formula, with the numbers on the subscript. I don't know how to do that.
Okay, I know how to cover that. Yes, I have all of this covered. So I'm going to put them correctly.
That's just to alert you where I just couldn't write through the right thing.
Okay, got it. All right, and the last thing that is there is the acknowledgement. That's going to come somewhere in the beginning of the book.
Oh, you put it in the beginning or the end?
Well, we usually go with the acknowledgement to be placed in the beginning, like dedication, acknowledgement, preface, a prologue. All of that goes towards the beginning of the book. Where do you want to put it? Do you want to put it at the end?
Wherever you think best, and I'll look at it. We can always move it. But what is the prologue? Does an introduction come before or after a prologue?
See, prologue is like a subsidiary of introduction. You can just put either one of them. So it's completely your choice.
Well, which comes first?
If there is going to be an introduction, there is no need for us to have a prologue, and vice versa. So if you decide to have a prologue, and then if you decide to have a prologue, then you need to have an epilogue as well. That'll come towards the end. So I think we should just stick with the introduction and move forward from there.
All right. Well, when you read my granddaughter's introduction, you tell me how we should handle this. Should we get rid of it, or should we use it in some way? And
use this, you know, maybe as a foreword in the book.
Does the foreword come before or after the introduction?
That's going to come before the introduction. So we'll need to decide whether... see, there are two introductions, one by you, one with one from Ralph. So we can either title one of them as introduction, and the second one can be titled as a foreword. Foreword is usually from a third person, a third party. So I was recommending that maybe Ralph Spies can be a foreword in the book, since it's your book.
Yeah, I like that. That's my thinking, that you do my introduction, then you do hers as a foreword.
Got it.
Yeah,
I will still sit down with the team and see what their thoughts are regarding this, okay?
Oh, sure. So, I'm open to anything. If you guys tell me what you think is best, I'll approve it or not approve it, but I'll argue my case if I don't agree.
Yes. And then the next file that I have here is Wordle spreadsheet, and then it is...
Yeah, hold off on that because that's the most complicated.
Okay.
So let me have you open up the one that says C.
Okay. My documents they are not alphabetically arranged or organized. I don't see any document with E. Just give me a quick moment.
C as in Charles.
Sorry about that. Yes. So the next file that I see here is Alphabetical Limerick List Marshall Flam. Is that the one that I need to look at?
Okay, let's look at that. I was going to take you in a different direction, but that's fine. Let me get it up.
And there's another document which says categories of Wordle limericks. Is that the one you're talking about?
That's it.
Okay.
Yes,
then let's look at that one first.
All right.
Okay.
Now this is a list of 31 categories of what my limericks are about.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Marshall?
That's all I need.
This could be,
yeah.
This could be something like, this could be somewhere around the table of contents. We can actually work with this, customize this, add a couple of page numbers, and then move forward from there. Now, I need to ask you, what exactly is the chronological order in which you had those limericks sorted out? You know, the one starting from zero cigar, ending at 600 and something. Are they categorized, or how have you put them in
They
place?
Are, but you'll have to bear with me for me to explain that, okay?
Okay.
So you see here, there's an alphabetic listing of different categories.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the one that we read about, the Golem, that would come under Category 7, Fantasy, Legend, Tales, Mythology, Nursery Rhymes.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So then, and I have a grab bag at the end, unclassifiable.
Let me see. Okay, yes, I see that.
And then 32 is sexual obscene bawdry. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now, put this aside and open up a document that says spreadsheet.
Okay. I have two spreadsheets. First one is Wordle spreadsheet, and the second one is alphabetical limerick list.
No, Wordle spreadsheet.
Okay, got that. Ooh, that's a long one. Okay.
Well, I'm just showing you. So notice at the top, zero, cigar, and it goes down with the number in the column on the left, and then the next one is the word. The next is the categories that the limericks fall under within that classification. Then the number of limericks in each.
Mm-hmm.
And then cross-reference limericks on the right-hand column.
Okay, this is starting to make sense. Okay, let me see if I understand this correctly. Number is the number of the limerick, the file that we just reviewed together with 600 and something limericks. So that's the number that
we are
putting there. Okay.
Correct. Let's go down to number 54.
Okay.
So there 54. It is, 54 number.
Yes.
The word is booby.
Mm-hmm.
The category, 18 and 21. Well, you'll have to look it up.
Yes, 18 let me
is,
check. 18
couple,
and marriage, divorce, couples, and 21, military. Okay.
Right.
That's the cross-reference. That's the category. And what is
the
next number? Number of limericks.
The number of limericks per word.
Two. And that would be where? Let me find that. Okay. This is going to be in the main section, the main body section?
Well, it tells you that there are two limericks under the word booby.
Oh, okay, right. Go ahead.
And then, so, you know, like if you go down further, you'll see a lot of them are one and two. When you get further down, I have a lot of three and four limericks.
Yes,
per word.
I see a three here, which is 206, drink. That's three.
Yeah, there's three limericks. The drink in the different categories. So it tells you the categories of limericks and the number. And then it also gives you a cross-reference limerick.
Cross-reference is what? Is that the... Oh, okay.
Well,
if
you look at number 83, there's only one limerick. And its category is 24, whatever that is.
24
is... That's
24 is personalities, yes. And
yeah.
You have cross-referenced it to 257. I got to open that document.
So, 257.
257, let me find that. Control F,
yeah.
257. And here it is. Okay, we have cross-reference 257 at 83 as well. I don't need that. I need to go to more. That's 257. Got it. Okay, that's making sense.
It's just a table to look. If you want to look at limericks that are about medicine, you look for number 20.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll take you to the medicine ones. Look up the category, then you can go through the list.
and look at limericks about a particular subject.
Yes. Okay, this sheet I understand completely. Can we move on to the next sheet?
Yeah, and then can you just do me a favor?
Yes.
Could you look at number 77, totem? Do I have any categories there?
Let
I don't
see.
On mine.
Number 77?
Yeah, are there any categories on the C, column C?
Okay, just give me a quick moment. Number 77 is totem. No, there are no cross references here.
Okay,
and no category as well.
Yeah, it got deleted. So, okay. But not all of them have cross references, just some.
Okay, yes.
But I'll have to add categories.
Yeah, is this sheet completed or do we have to look at that?
It's completed up till today's limerick.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I guess this is going to go at the back of the book, you know, towards the end, like an indexing page.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Okay, now let's open up another indexing page.
Yes. That's the alphabetical limerick list.
Yes. And that one, because, and this can be reorganized, it's just the format I have. If you look at sheet one, you see the first word on the left-hand column. These are all A's in the first column. Since this is my alphabetical listing. If you want to look up a word, the limerick number, because otherwise they're listed by randomly alphabetically because they came up on a certain day.
Yes.
This is an alphabetical listing of the number.
Okay.
So if you're looking for a limerick about a biome, you would go to B, look up biome, it's limerick 82.
I was thinking,
and there are three pages.
If there is any other way of doing, you have organized all the limericks according to the dates in a chronological order. Do you think it would be better for us to organize them in alphabetical order, or what are your suggestions?
No,
because I'm getting confused there.
My suggestion is stay with the Wordle when it came out, because it's tied to Wordle.
Okay. Yeah, there's a certain sequence to it.
Yep.
Okay,
a random sequence when the word comes out, people have to guess the word.
Right. Okay, and I'm looking at sheet two. I believe this is still continuing to the next alphabetical order. H I J K L M N.
All there.
And
yeah.
Number three. Okay, and so on. So this would come after the indexing, correct?
Yeah, that would be in your index. Yeah.
See, there will be two different indexes. The first one is the one that we just went over, which will have the number of limericks, category, and cross-reference, of course, with the number of the limerick itself. And that is the first one. Once we are done with that, we can have a second one that is alphabetically organized. That's the second sheet that we were looking at.
Yep.
Okay, this makes sense. I think the only thing that's left to do at this point of time is compile all of this together, send it to you, see what it looks like, and then start with the editing process from there. Most of it is almost ready to go, you know?
I'll need to fine-tune certain things. Like, I didn't realize I was missing a category under totem and so forth. But in any case... and if you think any of my limericks need footnotes, like I thought everybody knew what the EU was, but I will footnote that. The trouble is, how do I footnote it so that you know that it's added? Should I print it in bold or something, or another color?
No, don't do anything as of now. Let me work with the team and have this compiled in a certain manner. Once we're done with that, then we'll think about the next step, which is the footnotes. So we'll come to that. We'll do this in the second step. Let's just work on first step at this point of time and compile the entire book, because there is a lot that needs to be placed in the right place in the book, in terms of the order.
Right.
So let's sort that out first. Once that is done, we'll have another session scheduled in which we're going to go through all the possible footnotes that we need to place, and that would go on the same page, you know, where the,
yes.
the particular limerick is. As you said,
yeah,
that
well,
footnote section is going to be a separate chapter. Yeah, go ahead.
I think the limerick should be listed continuously without interruption of footnotes. If people are interested in the footnote, they can find it in the footnote chapter. But that's my opinion. So
okay.
run it by with your team and see what they think. Because,
I think
you know,
I'm
going to
agree
nice
with you.
When you have,
yes.
When you have the limericks on one page all in a row in columns, it's going to look really nice on both sides
mm-hmm.
of the paper. You can get a lot of limericks on there.
Yes.
How
do
you
want us
it,
to so. Format that? I mean, do you want us to have these limericks in a table format? Or how
well,
exactly would you want us to work in terms of
hold,
the space?
Hold on 1 second.
Sure.
Yeah, 1 second. So I know, but you got to tell them you've got to cut it down the back to 3 inches. I'm sorry. I had to tell my wife something.
Okay.
So I just see them as being, depending, let me see how big this page is. So looking at, I've got a pad with me that's 11 inches
mm-hmm.
in length. And I have, the width is 8. So that's the same size as the book you proposed, which is a nice
yes.
size. And I think there's going to be, the average limerick is going to have 5 lines, but you need a space between the title.
Yes.
So can you go on?
1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, if you're not dividing the page into half, you know, having columns on both sections, like first half of the page and second half of the page, if you're not dividing it into half, then we will cover 4 of them. But if we divide the page, we may cover 8 or 6.
Why would you divide the page? I don't understand.
That's what I wanted to know from your end. In terms of the formatting,
yeah,
do you want
well,
to keep it as
I,
it
I
is?
Would,
or
no, I want to... No. Remember, I'm turning. I'm going to open up this 11-inch book
mm-hmm.
the long way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to. When I open it, I'm going to throw back a page that's 11 inches long, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at, let's look at the limerick. Pick the. Let you, are you on the limerick page?
Yes, I am.
So the word 41, crazy.
Okay. Let me find that. It's 41, right?
Right.
Okay.
Just arbitrarily.
Okay.
I could actually pick one that has a 6th line to it.
Okay.
That's right, just randomly. Okay.
I got it.
All right, so the first is the title.
Mm-hmm.
That's 1 line.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a space, another mm-hmm. line, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then there's 5 lines to the limerick.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 7 lines. Some of them are going to, so that's 7 or 8 lines. Because some of them are going to have 6 and a few 7 lines, okay? But
yes.
the average will be a little over 5.
Mm-hmm.
Then you need a separation between limericks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many lines that's going to take. Maybe
just 1 line. A line before that and a line after that. So that will be, in total, 3 lines gap in between the next limerick.
Okay, so that's, so let's, we got 7 plus or minus 1 plus 3-line gap, then another 5 lines, right?
Mm-hmm.
Plus or minus 1. So each limerick is going to require 10, 15, if it's double, there'll be 10 plus or minus 1 or 2.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends. So some of them have 4 or 3 limericks.
That is correct.
So, but, so the spacing is going to determine how many you can get on, but I don't see why. I think we can get... I think you can get 2 titles It'll vary depending upon the number of limericks.
Yes. What I see from my end, I think it's going to vary from 3 to 5. That's the average number that it's going to vary from.
On the page.
Yes.
On the page.
Perfect. Yes.
Yeah, that'll be great. And then what do you do when the limerick breaks, that you have to go to the second page? Is that okay? Does that work out?
We're not going to break a limerick. See, if there are two lines remaining on the first page and the limerick has maybe 4 to 5 lines, we're going to move on to the next page.
So you'll space it differently.
Yes. We'll just space it out and start afresh on a new page.
Okay. Very good.
Okay.
And then once you know the number of limericks, so let's say the two possibilities, you may be able to take all my limericks and get current to the last one, or you might say, let's cut it off at a certain number.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
All right. Now I'm going to make one more point.
Yes.
If you go to limerick number 74.
74, okay. Just give me a moment. Let me pull that up.
And put up the
footnotes?
The footnotes for 74.
Okay.
Now, I'm betting you don't know this history. Some people will.
Okay. And we are going to 74. Bleed. Is that the one we're looking at?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, let me open up the footnotes as well. And we are looking at 74. 74. Bleed. Okay, I got it.
Go ahead and read it.
Okay. He suffered from hemophilia B. Okay, I know what hemophilia is. Tsar Nicholas' son, Alexei. I don't know who that is. When the poor lad began to bleed.
The last, let me explain. The last czar of Russia.
Oh.
The one that was overthrown.
Oh.
Tsar Nicholas. And
yes,
his son,
yes.
Alexei, was a hemophiliac because the royal, but it's all explained, but go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to refer to the footnotes. Let me read that. Okay. When the poor lad began to bleed. Okay. He was called in with great speed. Rasputin, the mad monk, indeed. Okay, I'm going to have to read the footnote.
Yeah, and
I didn't get it right.
Would you change the word indeed to rapidly?
Oh, okay.
You do on your document, because I realized it didn't rhyme the way it should have.
Rapidly, yes.
Yeah. Now, okay. Do you know who Rasputin was?
No.
This is a great story in history, so go ahead and read the footnote.
Okay, let me read that. Hemophilia B is a hereditary bleeding disorder caused by a deficiency of blood, clotting factor 9. Okay, I know about that. The more common hereditary hemophilia A is due to a deficiency of factor 5, 6, 7, 7. Okay, I am bad in Roman numerics.
Eight.
Hemophilia B was known as the royal disease because so many descendants of the intermarried royal families of Europe suffered from it. Okay. Carried in the case of females. Okay. Rasputin.
Females don't get it. Only the males get it.
Okay. But it says carried in the case of females.
Yes. Yeah, so they don't get the disease. They carry it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Got it. Rasputin, a peasant who proclaimed himself a healer with the ability to predict the future, won the favor of Tsar Nicholas II and Tsarina Alexandra through his ability to stop the bleeding of the hemophilic son Alexei. Oh, I got it now.
So
this is really
educational.
Cool, Marshall. Yes.
Nice. I think you'll get a buyer's copy, huh?
I will.
So you learn a lot.
Yes, and it's fascinating.
And you'll have a lot of laughs, too.
Yes, of course.
They vary a lot. Now, some of them are disgusting. You know, like you go to 76.
Okay, 76. Flick, okay.
76, number one.
Okay, there are two of them here, okay.
Right, number one.
Okay, well,
as an example of disgusting.
Stained with a finger pick. Okay. When she pulled it from her nose, oh my God, she didn't wipe it on her clothes. She merely, oh God, Marsha.
So there's such a variety here.
Yes, there is.
All right. Well, so anyway, if you enjoy reading them, you can read the whole thing. I don't care, but I appreciate working with you on this.
Likewise. Thank you so much for your time, Marshall. Finally,
I actually
understand what I need to do here with the team. So I'm going to get to
that,
and I will most likely get back to you within 4 to 5 working days, okay?
45?
No.
Or 4 or 5?
4 to 5. Yeah.
Oh, next week.
Like,
great.
Yes.
Now, one rule I have to lay down.
Mm-hmm.
None of your team can walk around reciting any of these limericks until the book is published, okay?
Okay, got it. My lips are sealed.
Right.
I'm not going to say another word to a single soul, okay?
All right.
Very
good. Take care.
It was really nice speaking with you, Marshall. Thank you so much for
explaining this.
I shall get back to you really soon.
All right, very good. And if I want to talk to you, I need to you know what? My granddaughter's calling, but hold on a second, okay?
Okay.
Hello.
Yes.
Okay, I just told her that we found her intro, so she didn't need to resend it.
Yeah.
So, so there you go. That's the whole thing, and looking forward to talking to you next week sometime.
Likewise, Marshall. Thank you so much once again. Talk to you
soon. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.